Hey, 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 welcome to another episode of What Leaders Do. I am your host, Cami Pentecost, and one of my greatest passions in life is leadership. I've spent more than 20 years learning from the greatest leaders all over the world, and there is nothing I love more than helping people step into their potential, uncover their unique gifts, and become the best version of themselves. Together, we'll learn how to create more influence, make a greater impact, and become a better leader. Let's dive in. I just want to start by welcoming you. I could not be more excited to have you here today. I mean, this is like a dream come true, and I get to pour into others so many times, but I'm super thankful for this opportunity that you're pouring into me. And it really is an investment. I promise you, you will see it come back tenfold for sure. And for those of you that are jumping on with us right now, my name is Cami Pentecost, and I am so excited because today I have a very special guest with us. Someone who's actually been on my dream board, especially for the last year. He's been on my dream board, and I made it a priority to put myself in his space. I went to Orlando when I found out he was going to be in Orlando, went to his church, signed up for his conference, Thrive, which was in Orlando. I would have flown to New Jersey, Pastor Darius. And then I don't know if you remember, but in November, we were both stuck in the Atlanta airport waiting for a flight. You were at the gate across from me, and I saw you and your wife standing over there, and I just came up and introduced myself.
Wow.
And wow. I said, thank you, Lord, for that. So I just finished reading your newest book, and I will get into that a little bit here in a minute, called Relational Intelligence. I absolutely loved it. But there's a lot of people that don't know who you are. I'm pretty loud about people I follow and people that I allow their influence to influence me, but not everybody knows who that is necessarily. So do you just take a minute and introduce yourself?
Well, first of all, I'm honored to be here. I love the podcast. I was telling you before we got started, I listened to it and I was helped by it and added value to my life. So I'm honored to be a part of this, and I'm excited about our conversation. Yeah. So for people who don't know, my name is Darius Daniels, and, you know, I do a number of things, but I have a number of different avenues through which I do the same thing. And so I lead a church and I write books and I create content and I coach. They are all different delivery systems for the same thing. I am a teacher. And I believe very clearly, very unashamedly, that part of my role and responsibility is to teach people how to be the best version of themselves, which for me means living according to your creative design. And so I'm excited about being here. I mean, I think I love all the things that I do. I love leading our churches, and I love writing content. I love creating content, and I'm excited to be on this podcast.
Well, and you're also raising two very talented young men too. I got to meet one of your sons when I attended the Change Church in Orlando, and he told me he was entertaining West Point.
Oh, you know, he committed. He committed to West Point.
He did. I had a boyfriend in high school and a best friend, both that went to West Point. So I've been out there a couple times for their balls and stuff that they do, but oh my gosh, what an experience he's about to enter into.
Yeah, it's amazing. We've been there and visited, of course, and There's a young man who was, got a couple of connects there, but there was a young man who is a part of one of our churches that was actually the character coach for the football team. And so, you know, he really felt comfortable. It's a great opportunity, and he's excited about it, and we are too.
That's awesome. That's awesome. How far is that from the area you're at in New Jersey?
About an hour and a half.
Oh, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
That's good. That's good. I know they don't get to leave a lot, especially their freshman year, but I know that'll be really convenient. Okay. So I just want to start out by saying, tell me maybe one of your biggest influences in your own life, one of your greatest mentors. I believe success leaves clues. And just hearing you talk about that for you will be instrumental for all of us listening.
Okay. Yeah. So probably a couple, but the most consequential is my natural dad. So I've got a phrase, it's with two words, on the back wall of my home office here in the workshop, Think Big. And that was because that was the first book that my dad gave me. I came from a very rural town, Killmichael, Mississippi. The population is about 600 and something people now. And a very rural town, sometimes very great town, great people, But spaces like that can contribute to limiting belief systems. And my father just was determined to instill in me a belief that I could be a barrier breaker, that I could do whatever I wanted to do. There were times where he even confronted and corrected family members publicly who tried to throw water on dreams. Ooh. And that was the first book he gave me. And I think, you know, out of all of the influences that I've had, he has been the most consequential for me.
That's amazing. My dad is my biggest for me as well. And it's interesting. First book I remember him reading, which changed the trajectory of our life professionally, and that was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. He read that book by Robert Kiyosaki, and he just knew he was made for something more, you know, and couldn't figure out how to get out of the limitations he felt all around him, you know. He was coaching and loving it, but just felt like God had something more for him.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Michael Jordan. I know you're a fan, but I'm glad you didn't, because I'm an Isaiah Thomas fan.
Yeah, Isaiah too. My mom is from Detroit. And she was born in Detroit, and so she was a Pistons fan. So I was a Pistons fan until Mike beat them. And I was just swept away in how good he was. And after that moment, I became a Mike fan.
Well, it's hard to deny he obviously was a very, very good player. But, man, I didn't think they shown the Bad Boys very well in one of the last episodes they just did with the new series he's got out there right now. It's like, hey, come on, give some love to the Pistons for me.
I agree.
Okay, so tell me, how do you think your personal identity influences or is influenced by the people that you surround yourself with?
Well, I believe it is 100%. So I just want to reiterate that part, right? and so I'll put it this way. Your association impacts your formation, just without a doubt. So whether consciously or unconsciously, I think that is so incredibly important. So there's actually a scripture that says, don't be deceived, bad company corrupts good character. And the idea is, why would a person say, don't be deceived? They would say, don't be deceived because it's possible to be unaware of the impact certain relationships are having on you. I do not believe there's a such thing as neutral relationships. Some impact you more consequentially than others, but they're impacting your life for the better or for the worse. No matter the degree of the impact, the inner circle becomes so important because those are the trusted, represent the source, one of trusted voices in your life that you trust enough, that have enough relational equity, that have demonstrated that they have enough care and enough competence to speak into areas of your life that you just can't afford to let everybody else speak into. That's an entirely different conversation, right? In terms of being discerning and selective about who you allow to have access to your ear. That's one of the most consequential decisions you can make. And so inner circle people, one, are able to speak to things other people don't have the ability to speak to, because they're able to see things not everyone else sees. So a lot of people see front side on stage and whatever that means for you, whereas the inner circle not only see the front side and on stage, they see the back side and off stage. So I feel like that is one of the reasons they are so important.
Okay, so it's interesting. When I first started my business in 2006, I think that would probably be around the first time I heard the saying, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And obviously they're talking to you professionally. And I think they actually said your income will be the average income of the five people you spend the most time with. And so I remember hearing that the first time and going, wow, that really matters. And I need to pay close attention. And obviously as I've been in business and been developing personally, I've realized that those people that are in your inner circle don't just impact your income. They impact every area. Mm-hmm. Life. And so I love when you said in your book, right in the very beginning, you said, if you want to take life to the next level, you need to learn how to steward your relationships. That was like, I was like, yes, that says everything I thought about this area of inner circle and so much more. And I would agree, if we're not influencing someone else, they're influencing us. And if we're not careful, it will absolutely change who we are at the very core. I love when you said that in your book. So what if someone knows they need to level up their circle? Where would you recommend they start?
Well, I talked a little bit about this in the book. The first step that I recommend in doing that is a step I call reflection. And I say that because it's possible to be so busy working in life that you don't work on it. And that requires intentional time for reflection, thinking time. And this is really, really hard for people that are high D's and type A's. And it's really hard for people who are pretty much successful professionally, because there are going to be some character traits that go along with that, that make them action oriented. So there's actually a whole book on this called Adaptive Leadership, where the authors argue that the most effective leaders are people who pause and do enough time for diagnosis before they start writing prescriptions. So I feel like that applies also in our relational life. Pause for a minute and reflect. And reflect on, okay, do I need different relationships, or should I be managing these relationships differently? Mm. And that's what I mean when I talk about stewarding relationships. Sometimes you have a different relationship doesn't mean you have to have different people. It may mean being more intentional about pulling more out of others that can be more of a resource to you. And sometimes it may mean that that reflection may lead to some separation or some distance that you've got to put between you and some others. Now, this is really important. I think that there is also a place and space after reflection where you have to pursue the kind of people that you want to be a part of your life. Because depending on who you are and where you are in life, the kind of people you want in it are probably going to be busy. And pursuit becomes really important. And I don't mean chase them down. You know, I'm not saying be dehumanizing or compromise ethics or values or anything along those lines. But I do think if there are some things that you want, including relationships, you have to be intentional about that. That is something I've lived. There are mentors that are in my life for that reason. And I feel like definitely that is kind of a next step to also reflect. Do I need to manage the relationship differently, or do I need different people? And if I do need different people, have a willingness to pursue them. Also making sure that I'm becoming the kind of person that is ready for a relationship with the people I want a relationship with.
So when you say a willingness to pursue, I know for myself for a long, long time, and a lot of the people I work with, we get, those of us, the highest achievers, we get together and we say, where do we go? Like, what do we do? Because we have outgrown so many of our peers and then so many of the mentors we previously had, right? And so, you know, you can speak what you've done for yourself, but I know for myself, I personally, whether it's an author of a book that moved me considerably, whether it's a pastor, like I'll be honest with you, Pastor Furtick, Pastor Todd, yourself. I met Pastor Furtick for the first time at a Willow Creek Summit. I heard of Willow Creek. And I just have followed him ever since. And quite frankly, anybody who'll listen to me, I'm like, you got to be following that guy. So he's been in my inner circle, but I realized you can't have a whole inner circle of people that you actually don't have a back and forth relationship with, right?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think for an inner circle, well, I think everyone has the right to kind of define it and what it looks like in a way that is consistent with what they need and the season of life they're in. Yet at the same time, for me, I do just believe there are certain characteristics that should exist in an inner circle relationship and with people who occupy that space. And I do believe one of them is some degree of relational equity, right? They have built up enough relational, like love capital. They made enough deposits in the love bank that they can be trusted to speak the hard things, say the hard things, or hear the real things from you. So there has to be, I think, some degree of relationship, connection, and interaction for you to really benefit from an inner circle the way that you can.
Okay. So then how do you pursue those people that you need when you're like, you know, you're hitting a level and you're ready to go through the next level and you realize the current, you've done the assessing, you've done the reflection, and you're like, I got to expand it. I got to find some new. How do you pursue that?
Yeah. So my answer is, this is going to be a space where my answer is probably going to be a little different, maybe depending on who you ask.
Okay.
Because for me, being a person of faith, this is where I believe the God factor comes in. Not that you do not pursue, but if you're pursuing someone who has a great deal of responsibility, they don't actually have time for anything else. So what has to happen? They have to be willing to make time. Mm. And when a person has a certain degree of responsibility and things of that particular nature, they're going to make time because they feel like they're supposed to, not because they feel like they have to. And I believe that happens with people who do not even have to share your faith. There will be people who, for whatever reason, say, you know, I just feel like I was supposed to help you. I get 1,000 emails a day of people asking me to help them, but I just feel like I was supposed to help you. And so I do feel like that is, for me, that is kind of a revelation of human limitation. That's not just, okay, let's just be overly religious. That is, okay, there are certain things I cannot control. And I can do my part to a certain degree, but there still has to be something that gets my email to the top, or that when I meet them at a conference and I make that bold ask, there still has to be something, there is something beyond what I can control that determines whether or not that person gives me a favorable response.
That's good. It's so true too. Cause I mean, honestly, I tell the team all the time, if you don't ask, the answer is always no. And I swear that is actually in your book. And I highlighted it because I was shocked when you responded to the email and I knew, gosh, that's him actually. That's him responding. And I don't know about you, but I don't always respond to all my emails. People might think it's me, mm-hmm. But the reality is I am checking my emails. So it is like one of those God things, right? Like a divine appointment of just something that was supposed to connect at the right time.
100%. Yeah. I just so happened to be checking mine that day.
Yeah, God. Thank you. Well, it says, we would be surprised who may mentor us if we would just ask. You wrote that in your book. We would be surprised to see who may help us if we would simply ask. We would be surprised to see who may offer us opportunities if we would just ask. And I was like, the answer is always no if you don't ask. And so you have to put yourself in place to receive that moment, right? And I've been in this space in my life where there's part of me that feels like I have to steward where I'm at right now because God still has me here in this season. But there's another part of me that's like, I've been feeling the feelings that the next season is coming, but I just can't figure out how to get there. And I know it's not my job to figure out how to get there. And I love what Judah said on your podcast. He said, sometimes it's your nose that will propel you into where you're supposed to be at next. Yeah. And I am such a yes person because I want to steward and do it well. But I also realize I got to be better at saying no. That was such a conviction for me the other day when he said that. All right. I am going to now ask you, when you know somebody, probably you're spending too much time, you've got them in your inner circle now. And after reflection, you're going, they probably shouldn't have that much access to me, or I shouldn't be allowing them to influence me quite the way they are, or whatever the case might be. You said it well in your book. You have to pray about the kind of truth that you're going to tell them and the actual words that you're going to have to actually say, right? I mean, sometimes it doesn't require a conversation. It doesn't require a breakup. It might just require a change in schedule, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes when that happens, life does it for you. It's like serendipitous almost. It's like some life event kind of necessitates a shift in the relationship. Then there are other times where you can shift your emotional investment without shifting the way you interact with them. And then there are other times where that isn't the case, right? Where there's going to have to be some hard conversations. And I'll use your words, in situations like that, you have to choose your heart. You have to be willing to choose your heart. It's not easy. But you have to be willing to choose your heart and say, okay, do I really believe that what is best for me has to come at the expense of what's best for them? I don't believe that. That's not my ideology. I don't believe that God has to destroy someone else's life to better mine. So I believe if distance is needed for me, then distance ultimately is going to be best for us. Even if it's not what the other person prefers, it's going to be what they need. And so if you're in the wrong place, you're not in the right place. If you're not in the right place, you're out of place. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that perspective can help fuel some of those conversations that would be otherwise difficult to have, because you got to make sometimes those hard shifts. Those shifts can be defining moments. I'm telling you, they're defining moments for a team, like defining moments. Those conversations and those shifts, when it comes to leading teams, can determine whether or not you scale, or whether or not you plateau or regress. And the same principle applies for your life. So important. I think we underestimate the importance of that. And the longer we're delaying those hard conversations, the longer we're delaying the blessing that's on the other side of them.
Sometimes I think I learn more watching people do the wrong things, because I realize and I recognize real quickly the result of delaying those conversations, and when I heard I can't remember the guy who wrote it, but he wrote Crucial Conversations. It was that was a defining moment for me, because it was like God saying, you've seen the result of when you don't do when I tell you to do something, or when you don't have the conversation when you know it's needed, and the domino effect of people that it impacts. And what always happens, I get all worked up, and then I have the conversation after a lot of prayer, after a lot of like talking to mentors about wisdom and ways that they would recommend things like that, the person is relieved just as much as I am. You know, like, it ended up being, like you said, good for both parties. And as hard as it, we work ourselves up, the end result is always a blessing on both sides, even if you don't see it right there in that exact moment, is what I found.
Yeah. I agree. And sometimes in my experience, even if they don't understand it initially, then eventually they get to see that, yeah, this was, even though it was not something I wanted, it was something that was best for us.
Well, gosh, I look back at relationships I had in my life, and I look at one that broke my heart. It was my West Point guy, actually. Wow. and yet I look back and see how the total trajectory of my life would have been different. You know, where God has me now, this is where it would have been then. And it just helps to see that, obviously, even now, right now, in the season we're in, I know a lot of people are seeing the negative side, but I believe wholeheartedly we're going to look back and so many people are going to go, that is the moment my life changed forever. And it wouldn't have if we wouldn't have been quarantined, or if we wouldn't have been, you know, I mean, doing it for us, not to us. And we just have to change our perspective. Okay. So I said, there's been a lot of people I follow that don't know me, but I'm allowing them to mentor and Mm-hmm. So do you have anybody that you follow that they don't know you, but they inspire you and you kind of learn from them? And if you're comfortable, will you share somebody?
Oh, yes. When I find someone like that, this is what I've learned. I'll explain it. I want to answer the question, but I think this part is important. Even when I get access to some of those people,
okay,
I don't solicit advice personally about a subject they have already created a resource for. So I feel like sometimes people feel like, man, I don't get to know them. I don't get to ask questions of them. The nature of their contribution to my life is going to be less. And I'm like, man, if you read a book by someone, you're getting their whole mind on a subject, and you're probably getting something you may not be able to get in a conversation with them if you have not kind of wrapped your head around some of the basic things that they've got to say about that situation. So here are a few of mine. Simon Sinek.
Okay.
Is one. So I love Simon. I love the way he thinks. So Simon Sinek is one. Henry Cloud is another. Mm-hmm. And so he's been great. Like, he's been a life changer for me. And then another one, he passed away, and he's Miles Monroe. So even though there are some areas we didn't quite align theologically, he's probably been one of my greatest inspirations because he was, to me, a barrier breaker. Like, Miles would be in a church speaking one day, and then in the next day, talking to leaders in the British Parliament. He's from the Bahamas. So he'd be training leaders in the British Parliament, and then the next week, he'd be doing a success summit with Les Brown. And he was, to me, just like a well of inspiration and a well of knowledge. And then probably a contemporary one would be Michael Hyatt.
Okay. I'm writing a few of these down because I don't know a few of these, actually. Yeah. I believe strongly in not taking advice from somebody you would not want to switch places with. You know, I'm always looking for more people that I can learn from. And you've definitely been that person for me. Actually, funny story, I went through a really bad divorce. It's very, very hard. And when we moved, relocated, I worked in the field. I was on the field side, the distribution side of my business for 12 years, mm-hmm. very successful. And then I moved over to the corporate side 2.5 years ago. My parents actually own the company. Not a lot of people knew that because my last name was different, you know? And, but when I moved down here, I remember God thinking, and I know this isn't right thinking, but when you're going through trauma like that, there's a lot of wrong thinking. but I remember thinking, God will never be able to use me for ministry again, you know? And when I moved down here, I prayed so hard moving from Michigan to Florida that God would bring my kids just the best of friendships, you know? And do you know what he did? He brought me the best of friendships through my kids' new friends. And many of them are single moms. Many of them are single moms just now going through divorce, maybe like a little bit behind me. Some of them are contemplating it, and I've been able to speak into their life about, you know, don't move slow to move fast, counsel, and, you know, all those crazy things. But the one woman that God significantly placed in my life in this season, we went to a family date together because we're just getting to know each other. And at the time, I didn't know she's going through such a hard divorce. And so she's very closed off, and I couldn't really figure it out. We go to a movie that night with our families, and we're talking. After she reaches over, and normally I say to people, hey, have you heard of Pastor Furtick? Have you heard of him? She says to me, so we all of a sudden realize we follow Furtick and Todd. And then she says, oh, have you heard Dr. Darius? I'm like, who's Dr. Darius? You know, she's like, oh, you got to listen to Dr. Darius. It was she and I that drove up to your church together.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
To be there in your space because we just wanted to be there. We wanted to experience it. And can you think about a location in Tampa in Bradenton? like that. okay. So anything, you know, I kind of want to switch gears here for a minute. Just a few rapid fire questions. And I did not give you these ahead of time. So fair warning.
I think.
Okay. How do you manage your state?
State?
Yes. Like when you're in a funk or when you're in a, you know, on a high or when you realize you're running, you've got to be a type A personality yourself.
Yes.
So how do you manage that?
Yep. So I actually have a, just like people have a personal growth plan, part of mine is an emotional wellness plan.
Mm.
So just like someone's asking, what am I doing daily? What am I doing weekly? What am I doing monthly? What am I doing yearly to grow? I'm taking that approach. What am I doing? Because this is what I've learned about type A's and highly gifted people. It's not their lack of giftedness or their genius that contributes to the downfall.
Mm.
It's the other untended to areas in their life. It's a CEO that gets too comfortable or too cocky or too greedy and crosses lines. It's a pastor that is ignoring some of the symptoms that are going on in his soul. Like, unhappiness isn't a problem. Unhappiness is a symptom.
Mm.
And when that takes place, it's time to do some digging to figure out what's causing that, you know, and all of that contributes to our success. So for me, every morning as a part of my devotional time, I do a feelings check.
Mm.
I do a feelings check, and I got this idea from this amazing woman. Her name is Anita Phillips, and she's a therapist, and she's genius. And so I include that, like, as a part of my devotion. It's a feelings check, and I'm simply writing down in a journal, like, what am I feeling? Up, down, happy, excited, frustrated, overwhelmed. And then, now what's contributing to it? What is the vine that is choking out my ability to flourish emotionally? And that is probably, I could go through some other things, but that is probably the most important and most consequential thing. It also helps you identify trends. So I'm able to look back this morning. I was like, man, it's been a pretty good, several days. And I was like, hey, I'm going to thank God for that. It's like, God, thank you that this trend's been pretty consistent right now. So yeah, that's probably the best thing for me.
And just out of curiosity, because obviously that's good to start your morning that way, but we know lots of things happen all day long and many unplanned things come throughout the day. I'm curious how you get into peace when all of a sudden you got a lot of things either changing very quickly, things coming at you you didn't expect that might upset you. How do you find your peace? Claim your peace.
Well, yep. So what I do is, in addition to my feelings checks, I practice something called I modernize it. I do my own adaptation of it, but it's my own version of something called the daily office. So this means three times a day, morning, in the middle of the day at some point, and then kind of at the end of my day at night, I'm going to pause and I'm going to center myself. So for me, it simply involves, so I'll do it after this podcast. I got some other things I'll do. And then it's a part of my day. I'm going to carve out 5-10 minutes. And that's it. The first 2 minutes I'm kind of putting on, sometimes it's just instrumental music. Other times it's worship music. And I'm taking 2 minutes and I'm sitting in solitude, silence, breathing in, breathing out, feeling what I'm feeling. And then for me, being a person of faith, I'm taking those things to God in prayer. And I'm also doing a little reflection and assessment, in the sense that I'm going to, in my study time in the morning, I just jot down like one sentence notes or whatever. So I kind of refeed myself that. And I also do reflection on, okay, what has been happening this first part of the day? How has that impacted me? Now, how can I pivot so that what happened the first part of this day doesn't kill my whole day? And for me, that was hard initially because I'm type A and I want to get stuff done. But this is a whole nother thing. I learned when you're wired a certain way, you can try to spend time changing your wiring. Good luck with that. Or you can learn to hack it. And so for me, I'm type A. How do you hack a type A personality to make someone who always wants to run sit down? And that is to get them to see that you'll get more done if you sit for a minute. Right? That helps me. I reclaim it. And then kind of at the end of the day, before I go to bed, I try to do the very same thing.
That's good. That's so good. Okay. Couple fun ones. If I were to get in your car right now and turn on the radio, what would I hear?
Whatever. It would depend on the day. Right now, you'd probably hear some podcast or some Audible book.
Okay.
That's yeah.
Good. And if it were a music channel, what's your favorite?
If it's a music channel, it would depend. So you hear a mixture. So you may hear obviously some worship stuff. Then you're going to hear some R&B stuff. You probably hear some pop stuff. I used to, I like rap, but I feel kind of old now. So the new style, like the mumble rapping style, is not really my style. That's my kids. They love it. So I'm kind of like, oh, like my friend just sent me Will Smith just redid. It was fire too. So if I'm listening to rap, it's going to be some old school stuff like that.
Oh, I'm a 90s child for sure. Okay, how about what was the last movie you saw and would you recommend it?
Yes, the last movie I saw was The Invisible Man.
The Invisible Man?
I think it's called The Invisible. Yeah, Invisible Man. It was really good. That was the last movie I saw, and yes, I would recommend it. I would highly recommend it.
All right, what's one of your hobbies? Do you go out and shoot hoops on a regular basis?
Not on a regular basis anymore. I do it from time to time. And when I do it, I'm doing it with my son, my youngest son. My oldest plays football. My youngest plays basketball. So my hobby is going to be video games. I still play video games.
Oh, I think I've heard you say that before.
I do. Yep. I still play video games. So that's a hobby of mine. That's probably the hobby I enjoy the most, because I don't have to exert physical energy to do it.
Do you work out every day?
No, probably 5 days a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even when you travel, does it make it hard?
When I travel, it makes it really hard.
That's what I find.
During heavy traveling, and so that's a whole nother thing too, right? How this quarantine has, I love this so much. Like, I don't want to go back to the pace I was running at before now.
Yeah.
I found other ways to reach more people and care for myself better. So it was really, really hard to be that consistent when I travel. It was just, and I don't care. You know, sometimes you say, okay, as soon as I get to the hotel, I'm going to do it. And after 3 or 4 hours on the plane, you're like, I need a nap. I got to speak tonight. This is not happening.
I'm glad to know I'm not the only one, because I beat myself up for that when I didn't. You know what I mean? When I didn't do it because I'd made that promise to myself, or I just run myself so ragged. I agree. This quarantine season has taught me that there has to be another pace, and I can do it. And so, you know, maybe that'll be the last question I ask you, just knowing we've been talking about inner circle and people have been how we're influencing right now, knowing we can't get a lot of contact with people. What have you found to be one of the best ways that you can truly connect with people, you know, keep that connection? Because we know proximity, there's power in proximity, but right now we can't get in a lot of people's proximity.
This is different, right? Because it is disrupting what I do think is a basic human need.
Mm-hmm.
So I really do. So I want to be very, very clear on that. There are a number of ways to connect, but humans were created to have proximity with other humans. Like, Adam and Eve were not placed in two different gardens for a reason. So I want to be clear on that. But one of the things that is helping me, I guess, kind of in the meantime, is things like this, FaceTimes. And so we could talk audibly, but being able to see friends and talk to friends. And like, my wife and I now are trying to figure out, okay, how can we schedule a date night with friends via Zoom? Yeah. So that face-to-face connection is kind of what we're doing in the meantime.
That's good. That's really good. So is there anything else you want to leave us with today as we close out our time on this podcast? Thank you, by the way, again.
Well, no, I just think this is a great podcast. It's and great value to people's life. And I can't wait to see who gets a hold of it and where it goes with it. And I just pray blessing on it, and that its influence and its reach would expand.
Thank you. I receive it. I receive it. I know it's gonna, and I think you're gonna have a little bit to do with it, and you might not even know it yet. All right. Well, Dr. Darius, I do want to say thank you for having you on. I know everybody listening, I felt like, as much as I do these podcasts to bless other people and to pour into others, I felt like today the Lord gave me a gift to pour into me. So I knew that spending time with you would definitely be something that impacted me in a great way. And then I can go out and serve others more effectively, you know. And I don't always think about the numbers as much as I think about the impact.
Sure. Yes.
The impact is going to be great. And I'm glad that this is going to connect more people with you, because I believe in your ministry. I believe in what you do. And I'm excited to see where you go in the marketplace side of things that we were talking about when we started.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really excited about that too. I feel like that is really the avenue through which we're going to make an impact in the world. And so for me, the way I see myself is, I'm not the world changer. I help the world changers. And I don't think you can do that without getting into the marketplace some way.
No, that's good. Yeah. That's really good. Yeah. Well, I don't know why, but I've just been believing that there's like a Acts 2 redo that's happening with people getting back in homes and meeting in smaller places. And I think that what's going on around us is going to be kind of I don't think they're going to let us meet in large groups anytime soon. I think
we're going
to get back to that. And I think there's something very special in that. And that does get us out more in the marketplace. You know, it really allows
us to get more in front of people. So, well, I know for those of you that listen to our time here today, I know you took away tons of ahas. I can't wait to watch it again and just unpack some of the different things that we said. And listen, if you have not gotten your hands on Dr. Darius's new book, Relational Intelligence, highly recommend it. And if you plan to join me when we read through this in June, you're going to want to get your hands on it soon, because we're going to jump in. June's going to be here before you know it. And maybe we'll reach back out and see if the Lord prompts your heart to join us again for something.
Sure. Absolutely. Be glad to.
I love it. You guys tag Dr. Darius, share your ahas, throw them up on our social, and we can share some on our walls. And yeah, that's it. I love it. I love it. Thank you so much, Pastor. And I'm excited to see what God's going to do in and through this time.
It's been great. Thank you for having me.